the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Time for us to turn our attention to rugby, though. Alan Quinlan is with us. Alan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Yeah, good. Look, I've been getting it in the neck a little bit from people for talking Munster up last week, but I was legitimately, I legitimately believed that the squad they had, the emotional intensity of what was happening with Billy Holland and CJ Stander, would result in a performance that would give a physicality to Munster, which should allow them to break even. But that physicality did not exist at any point for Munster over the course of that game. And it's like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I was, I'll be honest with you, I expected, if I was a Leinster player last week, Ger, and I was listening to a lot of the pundits and papers talking and writing about this is Munster's best chance, this is the best team on paper Munster have had, and people predicting they'd win, it would fire me up. I think we've questioned the intensity of the Derby match a number of times over the years, but Leinster seemed to come out just really fired up and with a point to prove that there's no let up from them. Their standard is as high as ever. Standards are as high as ever, and that their quality is there, and that they're not going to roll over and kind of go with the narrative here and make this a close game and let Munster settle in and potentially, you know, get the ball to the to what on paper was a really, really good backline. But bar Damian Diolinde, that was the same backline 2 years ago, who were well beaten by Leinster as well. And I made the point that it doesn't matter what kind of a backline you have, it's up front where it counts, and it'll never change in rugby. If you're not getting a decent platform, nobody can play. And, you know, I was excited about Joey Carberry, him coming back. Maybe we expected too much out of him. He's only a couple of games played. He didn't play well. He missed a few tackles. He was targeted by Leinster. But the worrying part here for me is that it's back to the drawing board. You know, they've lost ground here, that maybe they've gained a bit of ground throughout the season, and that optimism and hope hasn't been justified because it's back to square one again.
That, I guess, is the bit that is almost most shocking. When you think about the team that Leinster named, the players who didn't start that game, so Sexton didn't start, Furlong didn't start, Caelan Doris not in the squad because of injury, Ringrose isn't there. You can go on and on. There's several more. Levy obviously out injured, Will Connor's out injured. Like, it wasn't Leinster's strongest team by any stretch of the imagination, and yet, okay, it's 6-6 at half time, but that's because Leinster were completely inefficient. They had 3 or 4 line breaks where if the ball goes to hand in the final pass, the chances are the winger goes under the post, or certainly he's getting in the corner, and they could easily have been, it could have been 26 or it could have been 17-6 at half time, and nobody would have batted an eyelid and gone, actually, that's about fair for Leinster's dominance. How did that happen?
Well, it happened by the tone that Leinster set and the cohesion they have. Sometimes if you bring back all your internationals, it doesn't just happen and automatically happens. And maybe, you know, Munster went full strength. They're missing RG Snyman, is probably the only one that would come in and start in the team. A lot of the players who played with Leinster, you know, I think they have the luxury of doing that, Leo Cullen has, because he's a lot of quality players just sitting under those internationals as well. And they've proven that time and time again over the years. Ross Byrne, you know, was an armchair ride for him because his forwards played so well. There's loads of parts you could pick this game up. You know, Munster had 36% possession. It's very, very difficult when you have that little amount of possession, 29% territory. So they're not playing in the right areas. And then when they have had the ball, on occasions, they turned it over, they knocked it on. They had 10 turnovers from knock-ons and losing the ball in contact, which is way too high. They missed 35 tackles. You just cannot expect to be at that level and that standard and expect to win a game. And Leinster were just so committed. You know, watching them in the warm-up, Ger, I saw a little bit of an attitude about Leinster that kind of frightened me. I'm not saying let warm-ups make a huge difference, but it's just the body language, and that's what made me fearful. I think they had an edge to them, and they started right from the start. And what was really key for me, and I was at the game, I was working for Premier, and I said it, was how would both teams come out in the second half? There's always an intrigue when you head into the dressing room at halftime of regrouping. What do coaches say? What do players say? And what do they believe? And what needs to happen in the start of that second half? Because they're the big moments in these matches. And, you know, Munster needed to come out firing in the second half and break Leinster a little bit, get some territory down on their end of the field, make them tackle, hold on to the ball, wear them out a little bit. You may not get scores from it, but psychologically, they never did that. And it was Leinster who came out firing in the second half. So I'm imagining they're sitting there saying, look, they're focusing on the chances we've created and how do we keep that going? And they did that, whereas Munster just couldn't get hold of the ball. And then some of the same, you know, some of the old habits came back in where they kicked the ball away. And when they had opportunities to maybe, you know, particularly that one off, that turnover that Munster got and Conor Murray box kicked into the 22 where Hugo Keenan, no pressure on him, he takes it. And it just deflates the opposition. So they came up with loads of moments that deflated themselves and they were sloppy. I thought John Klein being taken off was a wrong call. I think he was one of the players who showed a real work rate, a passion and a desire and an aggression in the tackles. He knocked the ball on twice, but if you look back at both passes, they were slapped off him by Conor Murray, whereas Luke McGrath was kind of stepping out and just leaving lovely soft deft touches there for players to run onto it. So we know he doesn't have the best hands in the world, but I think they were difficult moments for him, and there were turnovers, and they had no pressure there. Reece Ruddock was sensational. You know, 23 carries. There was times where he'd make a carry, get back up, run around the corner, two or three phases later, another carry. He had 23 carries. Jack Conan had 20 carries. Josh Van Der Fleer, 7. That's 50 carries from their back row. Peter O'Mahony, 1 carry. Gavin Coombs, 14, who actually played really well and showed that he's a quality player and one really one for the now and the future. CJ Stander had 7. So Munster didn't have the ball a lot, but you've got to go and find the ball. You've got to take it back off the opposition. When you get it, you've got to protect it. So in the back row alone, 50 carries as opposed to 22.
Yeah.
You know, Keane Healy, 9. Kelleher, 9. Porter, 12.
It's that front row and the difference. That was one of the kind of key differences between the teams. That the Leinster front row and... The second rows of both teams, I think Klein played quite well as well. You feel like there's close enough to parity there between the starting second row that Leinster had at the weekend, but the front row is significantly different in terms of the quality, and certainly the quality off the bench is not comparable at all. So, like, all of the stuff, all of the work that Munster have done, is that the next area of recruitment that they need to look at?
Look, it's difficult here because the reality is they went out and spent big and they brought in 2 World Cup winners. You know, they don't have a blank checkbook that they can just... It's just not possible to go out and sign a complete new front row and loads of depth there. There's been a couple of issues there for years. And look, to be fair to the players, they tried hard. And, you know, if you look at the defensive stats of the Munster players, a lot of them have big numbers in the tackles, you know. Stander, 22 tackles, Tyburn, 20, Coombs, 12, O'Mahony, 10. So they're working hard without the ball. And there was moments in that first half where they got a big moment here or there, but they've got to be far more intelligent. And I was really surprised by the panic. Now, a lot of that, we can't just completely focus on how poor Munster were. Leinster were exceptional. Munster, you know, that fear before the game made Leinster play for 80 minutes to bring that kind of high intensity for 80 minutes. And they did that so well. And that was my biggest fear before the game. But for Munster, like, you can't just go out and sign a load of players now. They've actually invested really heavily in those 2 guys and made a big statement. And there was loads of optimism. So Of course, you're going to have off days and you're going to have days where things don't go right. But consistently over the 80 minutes, they never landed a blow. They never stressed Leinster in any sort of way. You know, it was, I wouldn't say it was an easy match. Of course, it was a physical match, but Leinster were never, never, ever challenged for a sustained period of time. There was no moment in that second half that they were in the Leinster 22. So I've spoken to you about stats in the last couple of weeks in Irish games, and stats can be misleading at times. But when you delve down into, you know, the carries and the tackles and the turnovers and the missed tackles, you know, it doesn't matter. They're kind of real crucial moments and areas. And I was on with Bernard Jackman on Saturday, and he's a big believer of big moments, the big moments in games. Big turnover, big tackle, somebody getting into the middle of a maul and breaking it up or holding a player up. Psychologically, they give you a really big lift out in the field in all sports when you have those big turnover moments, but none of them are Munster, and they just look flat and deflated. Questions about the way they played. I actually think they tried to pass the ball around a little bit, and maybe they went away from what they're really good at. They never got their maul going. They never got any sort of aggressive carries around the edges. Leinster fanned out a lot and defended very aggressively, but it was a very, very worrying performance from Munster, and one that, which it's strange to say, you kind of, I didn't even want to be hard on him after the game. I felt sorry for him. I felt sorry. I had a real kind of shock factor. Like I said, the losing the match didn't shock me, because I thought Munster would have to have an A-class performance to beat them, because I did expect Leinster to be really up for this and not to give up the title easily. But it was very, very worrying, and the psychological damage of this now will be very telling.
Like it's interesting that you're saying you feel sorry for them. Like you remember a few years ago when Reggie Corrigan questioned Peter O'Mahony about the work rate or the commitment to the Munster team, and he bristled at that suggestion. Could the same suggestion be made of Munster, and especially maybe in that second half, going in at half-time, knowing that it was a 6-6 draw, having been well aware that Leinster could have killed them in that first half? Surely that half-time dressing room would have been, in the old Munster days, an unbelievable place to be, sensing that opportunity that Leinster weren't actually going to kill them off. Like, do questions need to be asked on that front, Alan?
Yeah, you can still say loads of things at halftime on. You know, I remember the Gloucester match in 2003 when we had to get the four tries, and we didn't know what the score we needed to win by. But I remember being in that dressing room, and it's a great place to be if you really believe it, if the psychology is there and if the energy is there. And, you know, there was guys screaming around that dressing room saying they don't want it. Keep the pain threshold high. Keep the tempo high, be so aggressive, and you feel that surge and energy in we felt it that day. You can say all these things, but you have to go out and back it up with actions, and there was no actions in the second half. You know, Leinster are a very good side on, so some of the stuff they created in the first half was brilliant. It's very, very difficult to defend that. And Munster came up with some big tackles and a couple of big turnovers and great desire to get back and scramble defence, but surely it needs to be better than that. They had their intelligence about what to do with the ball and where they play and just making good decisions and not giving the ball back to Leinster. Munster gave it back to them pretty easy with poor kicks, turnovers, losing the ball in contact and a bit of panic. So that was really telling, I think, coming out in the second half. And you know, it's frustrating as well from a Munster point of view that they can't come out with the same bite, intensity and cohesion, if you like, to make a real statement in the game, where their Leinster hanging on defensively. They never really questioned. It was an easy defensive game for Leinster. Okay, you know, there was lots of big collisions around the edges and some big tackles, and Munster made some good carries at times, but you've got to bring that to multi-phase. You've got to make it sustained, and you won't break Leinster down easily. So it's that was probably the disappointing part, that they never fired a shot. And then when they conceded a try and they gave away a penalty, it goes to 10 points. It's game over, because this Leinster side are too good, and they don't, they're so hard to break down. But again, you know, you're in a situation where JJ Hanrahan sits back in the pocket and kicks the ball aimlessly up the middle of the field. It's hard for him, but I'd rather see him lose the game by another score and take a chance. And they just kind of went back. Craig Casey box kicked one out of his 22 again, and they just lacked that bit of leadership. And so a mixture of Leinster being really, really, really good and Munster worryingly just not firing a shot.
From Leinster's perspective, obviously, Leo Cullen was a pain to point out that they didn't back up a Pro 14 title with European performances to match it last year. They really need to kick on now because they're so dominant in the local league that this team will really only be happy. I mean, obviously, they were very happy with the trophy and what it meant for the players, particularly that extended squad. But clearly, they have designs on a European Cup this year, and their performances are at the level where they should have, where they should expect to take care of Toulon on Friday. And then, obviously, it'll be different in the semi-finals. But that's the level they're at the moment, where they're as good as anybody that's out there.
Yeah, and I think the psychological effect this will have on them, the belief it'll put in the squads. You know, they had a number of players too who are probably very frustrated. Luke McGrath's performance was brilliant. And, going forward against Toulon, can they get the same type of emotion next Friday night? They won't have the same emotion, but they're good enough to, and they've shown us with their consistency that they're good enough to get a real clinical performance again. It'll be difficult. Then they go away from home. Most probably it'd be Exeter in the semi-final if they beat Toulon. But the high standard just kind of continues with the changes, you know, that they make and the balance that they've... And look, they've so much depth in so many positions. You know, they're missing Ringrose, James Ryan, Will Connors, and players come in and they make a real impact. And that's the luxury Leo Cullen has. But they're such a well-coached side as well. If they lost the game, maybe we'd be talking about their attack and the chances they butchered in the first half. But Sion is such a good side that they didn't panic. There was no panic there at all. And you just expect that they're going to kick on now, beat Toulon, and no big panic going to Exeter in that semi-final. Very, very difficult game if it happens, for sure. But you couldn't back against them now, challenging for that European trophy, given what they showed us at the weekend.
Yeah, away semi-finals in Europe, obviously almost one of the hardest things in world sport to win. So it's not a gimme, but obviously we're making Friday a bit of a gimme. But look, that's where they're at the moment. Alan, good stuff. We let you go. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.